Guys, by my count, I've got a little less than 30 minutes. I want to spend it wisely, so I'm going to ask you for a couple favors. If you'll grab your Bible, we're in Joshua chapter 3. Also going to ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you did not get a bulletin when you came in, like I did not grab one when I came in, we have this digital version. Again, just use your phone, scan that QR code. Our digital notes are really, really good, really important. Both of those, the printed bulletin and the digital, come with some sermon discussion questions. We're actually going to talk about those this morning, why they're important. So prepare yourself. I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump in this morning as we continue this series, The Gospel BC. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to gather. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you into this place. You are the teacher of the church. You are a gift from God. You are God who lives in us, Christ in us, through you, Holy Spirit. This is the mystery of the gospel. And we just ask right now that you would teach us about Jesus from the inside out, that you would call us to Jesus, that you call us to repentance, that you call us to faith, and that you would call us to mission. And God, I ask you to do a mighty work this morning as we study the life of Joshua, the first really Yeshua, and I just ask that in your holy, powerful, and precious name, amen, amen. All right, guys, so man, last week we're doing this series, and what we're doing, guys, we're walking through the Old Testament, showing you how everything in the Old Testament actually points to God's plan of redemption in Jesus. This changes the way that we read the Scripture, right? So when we read the Scripture, we're now looking for God's plan of redemption. We're chasing it. We're interpreting Scripture through that idea, through that plan. It matters. So last week we talked about the 12 spies, okay? So God frees his children, this nation of Israel. They grow into great nation in Egypt. He frees them through Moses. The deliverer leads them to the Red Sea. They cross over. Then we get to Mount Sinai. God says, okay, hey, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. You've got to have some rules to live by. You've got to build me a place to dwell. And there's got to be a way to atone for your sin. All that kind of goes down. Then they go to the Jordan River, which is where our story today takes place. Only that group of people, the group of people that God delivered from Egypt, they get to the Jordan River. They send 12 spies over. The 12, instead of focusing on the promise of God, which is to give them the land, they focus on the problems they find there, which are the giants. Even though there's great fruit, and they freak out, and instead they listen to a bad report, and they choose not to cross over. And the consequence is high. It is heavy. All of the adults of that generation will die off. They will wander in the desert for 40 years. Not one of them, not even Moses, is going to cross over into the promised land. God is going to raise up a new generation. They'll be led by the two faithful spies, Caleb and a guy named Joshua. This morning, we're going to talk about Joshua. We're kind of focusing on event, but it's also his whole life. It makes it a little weird when we get to the gospel connection, but I hope it makes sense to you. But I want to remind you, man, we're leaving tons out, right? Is that okay? Is it okay if we focus on a thread of redemption? Yes, it's okay. Why? Because we don't read the Bible for information. Where's my slide, y'all? Come on, help me out. We don't read the Bible for information. We read it for transformation. We want to be changed. We're going, God, let me see how much you love me. Let me see your plan of salvation. Let me see what this text means for me in light of why you came, why Jesus came, what that's how that's meant to impact me. So that's what we're doing today. So along the way, guys, here's all the stuff I'm leaving out. We're not getting into the succession of leadership from Moses to Joshua. We're not actually going to talk about Jericho or Rahab, which is a great story, or really any of the military conquests or defeats. Thank you, AI. We're not getting into any of that stuff. We're not going to talk about any of the military campaigns. We're not going to talk about the division of the land as inheritance. We're barely going to touch on the farewell address of Joshua, which we will talk about at the very end. But again, what we are going to talk about, crucial to this story, crucial to tracing God's plan of redemption, because we need to see the difference between those guys last week and these guys this week, okay? Make sense? With that in mind, guys, I'm in Joshua chapter 3, and here is what the word of the Lord says. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, then Joshua told the Israelites, come closer and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And he said to them, you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly dispossess before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now this matters because that's the same group that was there when their forefathers came, and their forefathers saw them, were like, oh no, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. We can't do it. So Joshua's like, come here. Yep, we're going in. All those people are still there, he says. But he said, so that you know the Lord will go before you. It says, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan, just pay attention. He says, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. When the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth come to rest in the Jordan's water, it will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass. Now, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. That's literally the symbol of God's presence with them, is this Ark of the Covenant. It says, now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. That's the time of year that it is. But as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reach the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam. Now, skip with me to chapter 4, verse 7. God's going to tell them to grab some stones out of the middle of the river, and it says this, you should tell them the water of the Jordan was cut off, as part of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. It says, when it crossed the Jordan water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. The Israelites do just as Joshua commands. And what happens is the feet of the priests touch the water. It's going to stop. They're going to grab 12 large stones. We think they're probably boulders. And they're going to carry them over to the other side, and they're going to build this monument. Now, what does any of that have to do with us or the story that we're tracing, okay? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Just a couple things in a gospel connection. Here's the first. I want you to know that faith means taking the first step. Faith means taking the first step and trusting God to act as we obey. That's what faith is. Faith means taking the first step and trusting God to act as we obey. Now, I want you to picture this with me. God gathers the nation of Israel. And he tells Joshua exactly what's going to go down. Joshua, you're going to tell them that the Ark of the Covenant's going to go to the water, and then it's going to stop. Now, I want you to notice, so the whole nation gathers here. God does not stop the water when they gather. God doesn't stop the water as they get closer. God doesn't stop the water during Joshua's address. No, God stops the water when their feet touch it. That's when it stops. God stops the water when their feet touch it. That's verse 15 and 16. But as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge. The water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass. And y'all, this river is at flood stage. I don't know if you've ever seen a flooded river, but it ain't pretty. It's devastating. You can feel the power as that water rushes, and it's digging into the land and creating new routes, right? I mean, Just sense this, the magnitude of this. At flood stage, God does not stop the water so that they can cross safely just when they stand there, or even when they gather there as a group. No, God only stops the water when that water, which is raging, when their feet touch the edge. And then God does a miracle, right? And he stops the water, and it rises up into the sky, some 2 miles away. Once they stepped in obedience, God provided deliverance. Can I say that again? Once they stepped out in obedience, then God provided deliverance. And y'all, that is important because that is a biblical pattern that we find throughout Scripture. See, patterns matter in the Bible. When things are repeated, we're meant to pick up on those. If you've ever heard the term spiritual discipline, I don't know what you think of a spiritual discipline, but you know what a spiritual discipline is? It's noting a biblical pattern of God's grace, of how God typically acts, of where God shows up, and then it's putting yourself in that path, going, okay, God, if you throughout Scripture have answered prayer, then I'm going to pray. God, if you throughout Scripture, when people meditate on your word, you bless them and their life is fruitful, then God, I'm going to continually think about your word that your fruit might be produced in me. By the way, your sermon notes that we make for you every single week, and every single week we give you a digging deeper devotional that you can find on our website. Some people think that, well, they're just doing that for small group purposes. No, we're doing that so you would talk about it with your family, and then you would talk about it with your friends, and that throughout the week you've interacted with what we discussed here so much so that it produces changing, lasting fruit in your life. It's called transformation. Because we know, not secretly because I've proclaimed it, that God blesses those that actually meditate on his word. That's the point of these things, by the way. Just in case you were ever wondering, why do they do that? That's why we do it, right? So, y'all, this is a pattern. When people step out in faith, then God acts based on their obedience. We see it over and over again. Abraham had to leave his homeland before God revealed the promised land. Naaman had to dip in the Jordan before his healing came. The man born blind had to go wash off in the pool before he could see. Peter had to, after a frustrating night of no fish, had to throw his net in the water again before the miraculous catch. Right? It's a pattern. We have to step out in obedience when God calls, and then God acts and delivers. It's doing what God says rather than waiting on some outcome that we're looking for first. By the way, can I just tell you, if that's your tendency, I think that's most of our tendencies, by the way. God calls us to something, we're like, okay, God, if you'll just show me this one thing. Most of the people that are waiting on God to act in a particular way are still standing on the riverbank, just in case. You just file that away, okay? But if you want to see God move, then you do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. Even when the water is raging, you step in and just watch God act, right? That's the first lesson that we learn. That's the first lesson that we learn, right? By the way, this is, again, a biblical concept. What does Psalm 119 say, by the way? I'll put it on the screen for you. Your word is a lamp unto my what? Feet. Maybe write this down, guys. Faith is about the next place you plant your feet. That's what faith is. Faith is about taking the next step, not knowing every step. That's what faith is. God's word does not show us every detail of how our life is supposed to go. But when we read it and we meditate on it, God, through his Spirit, very clearly usually tells us what the next step is. And y'all, hear me clearly, sometimes that next step is to step into some raging water and just watch what God does. All right? Make sense? Okay, so that's where we start this morning. Number two, I want to share this with you, is that we need to stack stones. All right? This matters. We need to stack stones because we are prone to fear and forgetfulness. And faith is essential for experiencing the promised life of God. Say it one more time. We need to stack stones because we're prone to fear and forgetfulness, and faith is essential for experiencing the promised life of God. So we actually talked about this last week. We said without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we can't enter into the blessed life of God. It's impossible, right? Faith is demanded. It really is. And so what happens here with these people are pretty unique, right? Now, their forefathers had the faith to cross over the Red Sea, but they didn't have the faith to cross over into the Promised Land. This is a new generation, and with this new generation, God gives them some instruction, and he gives them the instruction in the midst of his deliverance for them. In the midst of him damming up the wall, he's going, hey, Joshua, now I want you to do some stuff. And so Joshua 4 or 5, he tells 12 men, go across the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a heavy stone onto your shoulders, each one for the Israelite tribes. And here's why God wants them to do that. Verse 6 and 7, it's going to be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You should tell them. Well, the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's covenant when it crossed the Jordan. The Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. God emphasizes it again in verse 22 through 24. You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the people of earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. Why the emphasis? And these people had faith. They had faith unlike their forefathers. Why does God say, you've got to stack some stones, man. You've got to set some reminders. Here's why. Ready? Because he knows them just like he knows us, just like he knew their parents. Because their parents crossed the sea. Not a river. They crossed the sea on dry ground. They watched Pharaoh's army be swallowed up. A year later, they celebrated the mighty act of God. Then they got to the bank of the Jordan and said, no thanks. See, God knows us. And he knows that even if we are people of faith, that sometimes we look at giants and we focus on the obstacles, right, instead of him. And so what do we need, guys, to maintain faith? If faith is required to experience the promised life of God, what do we need to maintain our faith? Ready? We need some reminders, right? We need to stack some stones. And again, this is a biblical pattern. Noah built an altar after the flood. Samuel raised an Ebenezer after God's deliverance. Jesus actually instructs us regularly when we meet to celebrate what he has done for us by partaking in the Lord's Supper. Baptism. Baptism, what is it? Charlie and her boys stacked some stones this morning. They said, God's changed us. And these aren't symbols. We're not doing this so that we can tell ourselves we've made it. We're doing this to say, look at what God has done. Because listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's worked in my life before, he will work in my life again. We stack stones to remember who God is and what he has done. And this is necessary. So, how does the life of, and y'all, we just scratched the surface. I need 50 more minutes. Anybody want to give that to me in your Mother's Day schedule? Okay, maybe come back next week and I'll carve some more time out. That's a glimpse of Joshua, but how does Joshua's life point to the life of Jesus? And this is really unique this morning. See, Joshua is what we would call an archetype. He's an archetype of Christ, which means literally that he's a Christ-type figure. He kind of prefigures what we're going to see in Jesus. Now, it's not that Joshua is perfect, but there are things that we see in Joshua that are specifically, like in the person, not just in one act, but throughout his life, that are meant to point us to Jesus Christ. We call that an archetype, including his name. Y'all, do you know that the name Jesus is just the Greek word for Joshua? It's all it is. It's a Greek word for Joshua, okay? And so here's Gospel Connection this morning. I'll put it on the screen. I want you to know that Joshua's name means, that's what it means. It's what the name Jesus means, by the way, because they're the same name. Joshua's name means the Lord saves. That's what it means. The Lord saves. And his life points to the greater Savior, that is to come. And just as Joshua led God's people into the promised land, Jesus, our true and better Savior, leads us into God's promised life. So Joshua's entire life is meant to point us, it's meant to point us to the person of Jesus, including his name, right? Including his name. Did you know, guys, that Jesus had two names? A little Bible trivia, are you guys ready for this? I don't know. This is Matthew chapter 1, right? So Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord shows up. Maybe you remember this. We talk about this stuff at Christmas time, it seems only. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, right? Because he will save his people from their sins. So literally, you're going to name him Yeshua, right? Because that means the Lord saves. So the angel of the Lord going, hey, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This is the one. This is the whole point of the study, Gospel BC. This is the one that this plan of redemption points to. This one, this child born of a virgin, his name declares that the Lord and the Lord alone saves. You guys follow me? This is pretty good news. We've been waiting for this, all right? But then this child has another name just two verses later, we read. right? Matthew 1:23. See, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we put it together, and that is exactly who Jesus is. What does it take to save us? What does it take to undo our Genesis moment, our rebellion? It takes God himself coming in the flesh, the Lord who will save us, not us. This is the gospel. This is the gospel, and it is on every page of Scripture. Right? It's on every page of Scripture. So what do we do? Listen, we give application every week not because we think you need it. We give application every week because God's word demands it. Like the Bible actually says, don't just hear the word of God, but do what it says. We can't just be hearers, so we've got to do something because of it. So here, I'm going to give you some things that I think that the Scripture might say that we need to do. First is kind of general, but you're going to know exactly what it is. See, I couldn't have something specific because the Holy Spirit's going to fill in this blank for you. Ready? Here it is. Put your feet in the water and take the next step of faith. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe the next step is that you've been here. So Charlie, for instance, she'd been here for a little while before she's like, okay, Lord, right? The boys had to be here a little while and hear the gospel for a little while before they're like, yes, I need to submit my life to Jesus. And some of you have been here a little while, but you haven't surrendered your life yet, right? So maybe that's your next step is just saying, okay, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender to you. I want your life. I want to be adopted as a child of God. I want my name changed. I want my last name to be yours. Like I want in the kingdom. So maybe that's your next step. Maybe you've already done that, but you've never told anybody about it. Man, that's your next step. You need to come talk to us at the end of service. You need to say, hey, man, I'm a believer. I prayed that prayer with you guys a few months ago, but I need, like these guys, I need to be baptized, right? Maybe that's your next step of faith. Maybe your next step of faith is showing up next week during this hour on the back porch and hearing about membership at FBCE, right? What does it mean to be a member? How's that different than just showing up? I don't know what it is. Maybe God's calling you to some kind of change. I can't fill in this blank for you. I'm just giving you examples. But you know what it is. And it's time to get your feet wet, okay? It's time to get your feet wet and see what God does. I know that the raging river that is before you, that God is calling you into, seems kind of scary. I got some of that going on in my own life right now. But I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I don't know when to pull the trigger. I don't want to be stuck on the side of the bank, though, amen? I want to put my feet in and see what God does. I wonder this morning, would you do just that? Number two, I challenge you this morning to stack some stones, right? Set up some reminders of what God has done. Listen, I don't know what that looks like for you, but you do. It's different for everybody. Some people, it's a physical act of baptism. I know people that to represent their changed life, they repainted their room. You know what I'm saying? Like they came from darkness into light. They're like, I don't want any of that. They just were like, I'm redecorating. I'm adding some lightness. I want to like, I know people that have done the, I don't know what it is, but man, stack some stones. Maybe it's baptism. Again, I'm going to set up a reminder. Listen, I don't know what it is, but something to remind you of how God has moved. Something that is permanent that you can look to, that you can remember. Okay. Lastly, I want to challenge you this morning to choose this day whom you'll serve. I said I'd mention Joshua's farewell address because the message is supposed to be about his life, not a single moment. So Joshua is faithful, and he does lead God's children into the promised land, and then he faithfully follows the Lord, all of those military campaigns, and there's deliverance upon deliverance, and God moves upon moves upon moves. At the end of his life, though, he knows that without his leadership, the people might waver. And so he says to the people who are already living in the promised land, but toying with the surrounding cultures, he says, no, you need to choose today whom you're going to serve. Are you going to go back to slavery? That's what your forefathers lived in. These guys were born free. Can you imagine that? They were actually born out of slavery from Egypt. And he says, but if you go back and do the same things your parents did, you're going to be enslaved in sin. Like, either choose to go and do that or choose to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a defining end of life moment. I pray it's one that I get to speak over my kids, you know, someday. Like, hey man, make the choice. It matters. It matters. Set up a legacy of faith, okay? It matters. Hey, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you don't know me. No, I don't. But I bet our stories are pretty similar. Listen, you can't out-sin the Savior. I don't care what it is. I love Charlie's testimony. She didn't get into all the details, but she's like, I know my heart. I know how wayward I was. But man, look at what God can do and has done. Listen, you are not too far gone for this Jesus. He is for you. Choose today to surrender your life to him. So we're going to pray right now, and then we're going to let you go. If you don't mind bowing your heads and closing your eyes, we're going to ask everyone to do it, not just one or two. Don't freak out. We're going to dim the lights for just a moment. We just don't want anybody to think, well, I'm not comfortable. I feel like everybody's looking at me. So we do this every week here. But if you're here this morning, and today you have clearly heard that Jesus came to save, he is the Lord who saves, that you can't do it on your own. Today you've heard that sometimes you just got to get your feet wet first, and you've got these massive issues weighing on you, and you know that God's calling you into faith, but you've just been fighting it. I wonder this morning, would you say, yes, God, I surrender. This morning, would you say, yes, God, I'm going to step into the life you're offering. If that's you, and you want to step into the life that God offers, eternal life as his child, would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Thank you. Just keep it up nice and high for me. I can't. It's hard to see in this dark room. Anybody else? Yeah, anybody? Just, hey, man, that's me. That's me, Pastor. Okay. All right. Listen, if you raise your hand, do me one more favor. Will you just make eye contact with me real quick? I'm going to scan the room. I see you. I see you. I see you. Okay. Man, at the end of the service, guys, I'm not here to embarrass you guys. At the end of the service, we're going to pray. Everybody's going to bow their heads again. Nobody's going to know anything. But at the end of the service, we would love to talk to you for a moment about what we're about to do. What we're about to do is not just life-changing. It's eternity-changing, okay? Because we're going to ask God to come into our lives and forgive us and to take control. It's a simple prayer, okay? But without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. We cannot be good enough to undo our sin. That's why Jesus lived a perfect life, so he could cover us once and for all. So we're just going to call out to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Lord who saves. Save me. And the Bible is clear in this, guys. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you still need Jesus. We're going to pray right now. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray out loud. This is us praying for you. So again, so you don't feel uncomfortable, but we're also learning how to go lead other people to Christ. So let's pray together. Dear God, I come to you right now. Save me. I need it. I can't do this without you. Now I'm done with me. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this guilt. I'm so tired of not measuring up. I just want to be yours. Today I heard that's why you came, Jesus. To save me. Do it now. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me yours. Make me a child of God. Born of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.